We're going to dismiss our faith children, faith kids, to learn about Jesus, the character of God revealed through His names. I want to thank all of our volunteers that help with the faith kids. And yes, thank you all for your participation last week and the fellowship over the table. Thank you for your faithful giving to the mission of God's work here at Faith Bible Church. Thank you for sharing Him in your circles and in influencing people to follow Him as disciple makers. I'm thankful for new ventures. A great meeting last Sunday night that Pierre led with some young people. And just pray that the Word of God would continue to do the work that only God does through His Word. And I want to invite you today in His Word to the end of Luke chapter 10. It's a shorter passage today, but so powerful, the Word of God. The title of the message is One Thing is Necessary. One thing is necessary. And this is exactly what our Lord says to us in Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Now as they went on their way, He, that's Jesus, entered a village. And a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Him and said, "Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Oh Lord, we thank You that we can call on Your name. We thank You for all of the gospel affirmations that we can make as we worship You together today. Because You are faithful to Your promise. Jesus, You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I pray in this moment that You will help me to say what will represent You so that we can all be helped. We come confessing our need for the help that You alone give. And I pray, Lord, that You would do Your work in our hearts. Show Your power for Your glory, we pray. Amen. You know, the journey of following Jesus Christ leads through hundreds of moments and hundreds of choices that make up each and every day. Thanks for making a good choice to come here today. But Luke presents this one brief moment with Jesus that speaks volumes about what He really wants for the good of all of His followers. Jesus, you may have noticed as we read, Jesus is called Lord 3 times in this brief text. And it is His identity as Lord that is the point of focus. This is what Luke is really emphasizing. And it is because Jesus is Lord that one thing is necessary. Are you properly investing your life in the one thing that is necessary? Are you satisfied with the good portion? As Jesus and His apprentices are making their way, if you've been tracking with us in Luke, He's making his way eventually to the missional moment in Jerusalem where Jesus has set his face, Luke 9:51. He has set his face for this moment where he will be taken up. And Jesus, as he's making his way, he enters the village of Martha, Luke says, and her sister Mary. And commendably, this woman named Martha extends such gracious hospitality by welcoming Jesus into her house. She rolls out the red carpet. And Jesus wants his followers to be characterized by a very generous and gracious hospitality. Romans chapter 12 says this explicitly. Show hospitality. But the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. And Luke doesn't put an exact timestamp on this moment. We know from other gospel accounts like John chapter 11 that Martha and her sister Mary also had a brother. Remember him? His name was Lazarus. He's the one that Jesus raised from the grave. Love that scene. And they lived in the village that was called Bethany, just on the eastern side of the Mount of Olives from Jerusalem. And Jesus, we know from the Gospels, he often went there, especially as he was in the area, as he was getting closer and closer to the moment of being taken up on the cross and taken up in his resurrection and then taken up in ascension. But Martha, Mary, and Lazarus become very, very close friends of Jesus. John 11, verse 5 tells us, point of fact, Jesus loved them. Jesus loved Martha, and he loved Mary and their brother Lazarus. But when did this moment in Luke chapter 10 take place? I can't tell you, because we don't know. Perhaps this is something of a when we first met kind of story, or maybe not. I don't know. But what we must realize is that Luke places this moment in contrast to what he has just told us about the Torah expert lawyer who came in verses 25 to 37, came to test Jesus. Why? Because he thought he was wiser and more understanding than Jesus. And just a reminder, if you think you have it all figured out and you don't need Jesus to know and to rejoice that your name is written in heaven, you've got it all wrong. God's Son Jesus, Luke 10 verses 21 and 22, Jesus rejoiced before the Father in the power of the Holy Spirit because Jesus, who came to seek and to save the lost, is perfectly at one with the Father's will. And the Father's will is to graciously give eternal life. But not to those who consider themselves to be the wise and the understanding. Instead, his will is to give eternal life to those who come to the Father as dependent little children, crying out for the Father's saving provision through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. The lawyer came with a very disingenuous heart, and he sought to justify himself before Jesus. And it's a reminder to us that Jesus is not to be tested. Jesus is to be trusted. No matter who you are, it's only by trusting Jesus Christ that you can be justified with the standing of his righteousness and accepted into his eternal kingdom. So in contrast to that lawyer, this moment in Martha's house shows us what Jesus wants and what he doesn't by showing us someone who's like that child, someone sitting before Jesus in worship, like a dependent, needy, loving little child. And how wonderful that the Lord Jesus, who is the Lord over everything, he chose to come to this village on this day, on his way to his cross work, because it is the Lord's sovereign will to reveal his heart to these two precious women. And that's very unusual. It's very unusual at the moment here in the first century that Luke 10 is describing. Very unusual that a Jewish rabbi would take notice of a woman, would give instruction to a woman, would let a woman sit at his feet and teach a woman. It was a different time. But Jesus is more than a teacher. He's more than a rabbi. He's in a class all by himself. He is the messianic ruler and rescuer that we all need all of the time. And aren't you thankful that the ground is level at the foot of the cross? Men and women, boys and girls, anyone can call on his name. And like the lawyer, our sinful default mode is often to treat people based on our own prejudice criteria, right? To make ourselves feel better. But Jesus came to save all of his people. And he wants to be the hero of your story too. But there's a vital contrast in the way these two sisters respond to the Lord Jesus. The wrong perspective results in the wrong priority. We see that here, don't we? The wrong perspective results in the wrong priority. Martha eagerly welcomes Jesus, and in rolling out the red carpet, she immediately goes to work with a focus on serving Jesus. I need to make Jesus feel at home here. I need to make sure that I'm serving, you know, everything he needs. And so Martha, the text actually describes her as being pulled this way and that way over a whole lot of things related to serving up hospitality for Jesus. All the dinner dishes to prepare. All of the linens to spread out, right? We've got to make the bed. There's just all the things. There's a lot of things. My family has heard me say in a lot of moments of frustrated bewilderment, you don't understand. There's a lot of moving parts. Why are you so tense, Dad? There's a lot of moving parts. You just don't get it. There's a lot of moving parts. When I say that, I'm imagining like some of the entertainers I've seen that, you know, they can spin one plate and then two and then more. You know, I went to an event one time when I was a youth pastor, and this guy, he was spinning basketballs. And I don't really remember how many. I think he was like close to the world record holder. You know, he like had them coming off of everywhere. And he was just spinning all these basketballs, and we're all, yeah, that's amazing. Maybe you've seen the people who are even, well, I won't deprecate their intelligence, you know, they're very skilled, obviously, but the people who juggle chainsaws, you know, I don't want to try that one. There's a lot of moving parts. Maybe right now you are feeling an incredible weight of the stresses of life. And we all have these moments. Too many moments acting like Martha. For some time after receiving Jesus into her home, she's doing all this hard work. She wants to be hospitable. It takes a lot of work to get all these things done. She's on her feet. She's probably working hard to, Luke doesn't say it, but I'm imagining she's trying to serve up some hot food. What are my specialties, you know? And yet, what's going on in her heart? In her heart, Martha is hot with anger and frustration and complaint. That's where Martha is at internally. What about Mary? Where in the world is Mary? That's what Martha's thinking, right? Where in the world is Mary? Small house, she probably knew where Mary was. She knew exactly where Mary was. When Jesus came in, Mary sat herself down at the Lord's feet. And verse 39 says she was eagerly listening to the teaching of the Lord. Jesus sat down. Lord, sit right here. Let me just sit down at your feet. Just teach me, Jesus. You know. When Martha sees her sister Mary not lifting a finger to help, all of that anger and frustration that's going on inside, it explodes, right? It boils out. Whatever's on the inside of us is what comes out. And Martha explodes with complaint to the Lord Jesus. My Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? And if you do give a rip, then tell my sister to get over here and help me. I shouldn't be doing all these things by myself. So tell her to get busy and start helping. Tell her to help me, Lord. And in this way, Martha is bringing the heat. With her expectation for Jesus and her expectation for Mary. And what does James chapter 4 tell us? It is our selfish expectations that produce the friction, that produce the relational conflict, that leads to wars. We do what we want. We do what we do because we want what we want. That's how it works. We do what we do because we want what we want. And whatever is on the inside of our heart comes out in our words and our actions. Representing Jesus or not. And this is the very reason for all of this ruckus in Martha's little house. The wrong perspective results in the wrong priority. How do we know that Martha had the wrong perspective and priority in her hardworking service? Luke says it very plainly in verse 40. Martha was distracted with much serving. Distracted. Literally, the idea is that, again, she was being pulled in many different directions, this way and that way. When you got people, you feel like people are pulling you this way and that way. Is it fun to feel pulled in so many directions? No, not fun. Not fun. And it's not that Martha thought that her sister Mary should never listen to the Lord's teaching. It's not that Martha thought that Jesus should never be teaching in her home. But Martha thought, as we all often do, that there are moments when many other things are more important than this one thing. There's a lot of other things, we think, that are more important than focusing on what the Lord Jesus says, giving our ear to His Word and responding in the worship that pleases Him. Martha wants to lash out at her sister Mary, and she wants Jesus to take her side. And in this moment, Martha is not loving God, and she is not loving her neighbor. Even though every day, good Jewish people say what? The most important commandment, the Shema, like love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. The lawyer knew that. But what we say sometimes is disconnected with how we act. Martha lost track of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. He humbled you and let you hunger and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, so that he might make you know that mankind does not live by bread alone, but mankind lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In response to Martha's boiling over plea for Jesus to make her sister Mary move her butt, Jesus pauses his word to Mary to give a word of corrective instruction to Martha. Why does Jesus pause his teaching to Mary to address Martha? Well, it's because Jesus, whatever Martha thinks, Jesus really does care. He cares about what really matters most. And he graciously corrects his followers because he cares for us more than we realize. Jesus addresses Martha personally and lovingly acknowledges the conflict in her soul. Jesus points Martha to the reality that she needs to embrace. Martha, Martha, you are worried, you are distracted, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Church, we all need ears to hear the loving correction that Jesus brings us. There are so many optional things. What is the one necessary thing? The thing that matters most? I can tell you this, it's not any of the dishes that Martha is preparing. It's not any of the many things that are distracting Martha. Jesus says the one necessary thing is the thing that Mary chose to do. Verse 42. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. The portions that Martha was preparing represents really everything that's temporary. We feed the boy lunch and he wants to eat just not that long later, right? We eat, we get hungry again. It's temporary and passing, that those portions. But the portion that Mary was choosing is the ultimately good portion supplied by the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord, and because Jesus is Lord, one thing is necessary. And every moment is a moment that is made for worshiping Jesus by giving our focus to his teaching. No matter what we're doing, no matter what we're up against. Yes, Jesus cares. He cares for both Martha and Mary. He has come this very day to their house to reveal to them the heart of the Father. And do you see that this is exactly why Jesus rebukes Martha? She was seeking to drag Mary into her distractions with the lesser things. When only one thing is necessary, giving yourself to the word of Christ. Is serving the Lord with hospitality the wrong priority? You say, Scott, aren't we saved to serve? We always say that, right? We're saved to serve. Listen. Anything we do, any business, any work, any service that distracts the Lord's sheep from listening to the Lord's shepherding word, well, that's just the kind of distracting busyness that plays right into the agenda of the enemy. It's the kind of service that really looks like spinning your wheels. If you're not serving with your attention on the Lord Jesus, then your service is not coming from a heart of worshiping him, because you've fallen again and again and again into the trap of making it about serving yourself. And distracted hearts can be troubled about many things that feed our own egos. But those many things They are not feeding our souls. They are not the good portion. So don't let the many temporary things distract you from the eternal. Choose the good portion that the Lord Jesus has come to supply. One thing is necessary. Sitting at His feet, giving Him our full attention, because He's Lord. And what He says is the only proper foundation for doing what He wants. Otherwise, we're just spinning our wheels. And I can prepare messages as a pastor, and we can come to church, and we can check all the boxes, and we can still be just spinning our wheels. Like Martha, we need to hear Jesus confronting our busyness. Hey, put it down. Put it down, child. Come over here. First things first, you know. Dinner can wait. Let's talk about spiritual things. Let's make sure our hearts are right. The service that pleases Jesus, well, it relies upon giving Jesus first place. And the service that Jesus brings, we have to understand, is foundational. His service is foundational for any service that we will give back in response. He wants our fellowship. He wants our communion. Because service flows out of communion. There's a man named Warren Wiersbe, who is a longtime pastor. He's now with the Lord. He made this comment, quote, "Few things are as damaging to the Christian life as trying to work for Christ without taking time to commune with Christ." To the lawyer in the previous text, Jesus reveals the purpose of God's law. To Martha right here, Jesus holds out the offer of the gospel. He serves up the good portion. Hey, come and sit at my feet. So the wrong perspective results in the wrong priority. But there's something else here. The proper relationship with Jesus grows from proper worship. The proper relationship with Jesus, is that what you want? Well, it grows from proper worship of Jesus. Mary was centered on the Lord Jesus. Martha was distracted. Mary was seeking the Lord's care. Martha felt like He didn't care. Mary was joyfully learning from Jesus at His feet. Martha was stressed out on her feet, focused on herself. Again, God forgive us. So much that's done in the name of religious service has nothing to do with the name of Jesus. Are we convicted, church? Will we heed the word of Christ? The Bible says salvation to eternal life is the gift that is gained only through relationship with the Lord Jesus. It's not religion, right? You can't be saved by the performance treadmill of all of your religious service. No, your good works can never be good enough, because we all fall short of the glory of God. Only Jesus is enough. Only Jesus saves. And one thing is necessary. It's interesting to me that Luke doesn't tell us how the rest of the scene plays out. It's just curtains closed, right? But Luke leaves us with the promise from the Lord Jesus. Mary has chosen the good portion. Do you hear the promise of Jesus? Which will not be taken away. Hallelujah. When you open your heart to receive the good portion, to receive the good news portion that Jesus serves up, you can be certain that His gift is eternally secure. His word is sure and surely brings us into a growing relationship with Him that is all satisfying. If you lose everything else but you have Jesus, He's enough. He is our portion. He is the bread of life. With Him is the fountain of living water. We sang the psalm together today. Psalm 34, right? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We tend to get stressed out over so many things. So easily distracted from the one necessary thing. We compare ourselves among ourselves. We think that we should be multitasking. When Jesus is confronting our anxious distractions. You know, whenever we encounter Martha's sister Mary in the Gospels, we find Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. I just discovered this. It just kind of clicked for me. She's right here at Jesus' feet. Nothing else matters more than what Jesus teaches. In John 11, when brother Lazarus dies, Mary falls at Jesus' feet to pour out her heart. And in John chapter 12, it's Mary who pours out costly perfume on Jesus' feet, wipes His feet with her hair in worship. This woman, Mary, the sister of Martha, she shows us the value of sitting with Jesus, while Martha shows us the folly of being so stressed out. You know, sitting at the feet of Jesus is really a statement. It's our statement of resting in His sovereignty. Because everything in us is saying, there's so many moving parts. But we come and rest in His sovereignty. But we say, Lord, You're the Lord. You're the master and commander. I'm just Your apprentice. I'm just a servant. I'm a disciple. And what is a disciple's greatest privilege? But learning from the Lord. That's what it's all about. So think about yourself. How do you answer the question? How are you properly investing your life in the one necessary thing? Are you satisfied in the good portion that Jesus brings? What focus in your life needs to be recalibrated so that you are centered on Jesus? You have many, many responsibilities as a child of God, as a follower of Jesus Christ. You have many, many responsibilities. Responsibilities in your marriage and in your family and in your friendship circles and in your professional work and in your ministries and in your church connections and in all the hundreds and hundreds of moments that make up every day's journey. This is the path of being a disciple. And Jesus doesn't want you, don't mishear what's going on in this passage. Jesus doesn't want you shirking your service responsibilities. All of these opportunities are part of loving your neighbor. But Jesus doesn't want you distracted from Him by your serving. Jesus invites you to find contentment in the foundational revelation of His Word. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, because it's not about you. It's all about Jesus. So guard your heart against the rationalizations. Oh, it's just the way I am. No. Instead, get to know Him better through the gift of His Word, through the Bible. Get to know that there's no one like Jesus, and that He is good and He is enough. And it's in this satisfying relationship with Jesus, sitting at His feet, lost in wonder, love, and awe, that we are enabled to actually live the life that pleases Him. His grace enables. So friends, instead of being anxious and troubled by many things, let's live by this word of Christ. One thing is necessary. And Father, we thank You for the revelation that Jesus brings. We thank You for the finished revelation of the Bible, Your Word. We thank You for this text that Luke shares, that You gave, Holy Spirit, You gave Luke to share, not only for his friend Theophilus, but for all of us that want to follow Jesus, that want to know what it means to be a disciple of the Lord. And we thank You, Lord, that You are so long-suffering and so gracious. We are often so distracted with so many things. Please give us ears to hear, to sit at Your feet, and to be sure that there's just one necessary thing. There's only one necessary thing. It's what You say, Jesus. I pray that You would be pleased as You calibrate our hearts as this Community of Faith Bible Church, that looking to You, resting in You, being satisfied in the good portion that is You, Lord, that we would then, by Your grace, be enabled to represent You well. And we just want to say thank You. And we thank You that You know our hearts better than we do, and that Your grace meets us in our weakness. And so please receive our gratitude in our worship today, and we pray this for Jesus' sake.